Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. We are One and Messiah congregation. We are a messianic congregation, meaning we believe the whole Bible is about the Messiah, the Mashiach. We thank God we could be here this afternoon. We'd like to talk about different things that we have been listening to from TV, from individual people. Are you following the Lord with all your heart? And are you making the correct choices in your heart? Are you choosing the right choices? You know, there's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about that. Are you making sure you're without spot, blemish, wrinkle? And we're going to go into some of these subjects in detail as we progress on this radio show. So please listen closely. We'll try to speak slowly so it enters right into your heart. Praise the Lord. One of the things we'd like to talk about this afternoon is the sacrifices from in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. You know, if we look at that, we look at every sacrifice, every offering, the rams, the lambs, the goats, everything had to be without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. Because God wants the first of your offerings. He doesn't want your old shoes and your old socks or your old rams or lambs. He wants the best of your flocks, the best of what you have. And that's what he expects from all of us. He doesn't want second best, or he just wants your whole heart. But we could see through the foreshadowing of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, that everything had to be without spot or blemish offered unto the living God. And what's amazing about the Old Testament, it is a foreshadowing. It's a shadow of things to come. And what we see is when Yeshua, Jesus, came to this earth, it says in the Bible that he was without blemish. And I'll read a scripture to you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, Messiah. Christ is English for the word Messiah, which is English, which is Mashiach in Hebrew, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the foreshadowing of the Old Testament. All those sacrifices were pointing to the coming of the Messiah. Every sacrificial lamb, every sacrifice they performed for many, many years was all pointing to the coming of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Another verse says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. I just thank God for the blood of Jesus. You know, it's abundant. It's for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't make a difference what nationality you are. You could be, I always kid around, you could be French, Spanish, Greek, Jewish, ticklish. Praise the Lord. It's for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I thank God my wife is here this afternoon. Carrie, she has a few things she'd like to talk about. I just thank the Lord that we can gather together in one spirit and one mind. Praise the Lord.
Hi, everyone. When Angela talks about without spot or blemish, you know, today we're supposed to be without spot or blemish, blameless. You know, Elizabeth and Zechariah were blameless in the commandments and the ordinances of God. So I think what the question here is, what does without spot, what does blameless mean? We believe it means not having sin, or not choosing sin, because you have to choose this day whom you will serve. But the big question out there today is, and I want you to answer this for yourself, when you think of sin, do you have a definition of sin? I want you to think a minute, what does sin mean? Or how do you know you're committing a sin? Well, I believe the Bible answers that question. If it's vague to you, if you say things like, well, that's falling short of the glory of God, well, that doesn't really tell you whether it's sin or not, does it? I hear that answer from many people. What sin is taking an occasion by a commandment. That's what sin is. It's the transgression of the law. God told us thousands of years ago what sin was. He gave us the Ten Commandments and the ordinances, and they're very, very specific.
Amen. That's correct. You know, you could look in the Old Testament many places, even the children of Israel, even the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. They were children with no blemish, no sin. They were perfect.
Amen.
You know, I thank God for these scriptures. Like I was saying earlier, there's a foreshadowing in the Old Testament about the lamb, sacrificial, no blemish, no spot. Yeshua came, Jesus. He is the lamb without blemish, his perfect blood, taking away the sin of the world. And then he tells us how the people of God, the believers, we're supposed to have no blemish. I mean, a lot of people don't ever think of that. They just think they could just be okay. There's a big difference between being nice and being holy. You know, that's something that needs to be defined. The Lord says, "Be ye holy, for my Father which is in heaven is holy." Being nice is, there's a lot of people I know that, unfortunately, that are not with the Lord that seem nice, but they're not holy. They're not serving the Lord. They're not keeping the commandments of God. You know, in the book of Ephesians, in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 27 says, "That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You know, that one sentence is, I mean, we should ponder that. That is a powerful sentence. A glorious church having no spot, no wrinkle. It should be holy and without blemish. That's something we are always examining our own selves, making sure we are without spot, without blemish. You know, it's something we should always be conscious of. You know, in the book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus." Because the Bible says, no sin is going to enter the kingdom of God. Not one spot, not one blemish. You know, that really confuses a lot of people. They always wonder, how is that possible? Because Satan has put a saying into this world, no one's perfect. Everyone sins. Let me tell you, that is not true. It says in the Bible, Noah was perfect. Abraham, Moses was a servant of God. He served God with all his heart. There's people in the Bible, Job was perfect. Enoch was perfect. And it's very easy to be perfect. It's not out of pride or spiritual pride. It's out of the fear of the Lord. A man departs from evil. And I'll give you an example. If I was to ask, and I'll do it with my wife, just to show you how it works. This is God's definition of being perfect. You know, the world says in the dictionary, being perfect is, you know, a perfect conversation, a perfect body, a perfect look, a perfect smile, a perfect, conversation. But that's not God's definition. God's definition is very simple, and it goes like this. Carrie, are you stealing?
No.
You're perfect in that commandment. Carrie, are you committing adultery?
No.
You're perfect in that commandment. And we can go on and on. And what I'm getting at is, you're either doing it or you're not. It's that simple. It's not a complicated matter, because Yeshua, Jesus, said to come unto him as little children. And it's childlike faith.
Amen. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We are saved by grace. There's nothing that we can do to get salvation, because we are saved by grace. But once we are born a new man, that means we've repented. We have to repent from everything that we've ever done. That means we have to turn away. That means we don't want to do them anymore. And we have to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. And that will is that we keep his commandments. That doesn't mean that you're not going to make some mistakes. We all are. But we're not going to do them on purpose anymore. We're not going to say to ourselves, oh, we're just a sinner anymore. That's what God expects. Because all through the Bible, that is not what God expects.
Amen. That's right. You know something, and that's one thing that people always misinterpret. When you first get born again, that's for the blood is applied to sins past. It says that in the book of Romans.
Chapter 3.
Amen. It's not for just every sin that you're ever going to commit. That's only to the people that are serving the Lord full blast, keeping his commandments diligently. Then you have an advocate with the Father. He is your attorney. Then he is the propitiation for your sins, the atonement sacrifice. That blood is without spot or blemish of the Messiah.
Amen. And I think I want you to listen to this really clearly, because listen, it's in Hebrews. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But," now listen to this, this is very strong, "but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Because he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of Man, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." In other words, after you're saved, after you've decided to repent, if you choose to sin again, you're basically trotting under your foot the Son of Man. You're making his sacrifice an unholy thing, because it's like using Jesus as a punching bag. He's not there so you can do something on purpose and say that, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." How can you be sorry for something you meant absolutely to do on purpose? What he's there for is when you sin ignorantly. Paul said that. He said the reason God had mercy on him is because he did it ignorantly in unbelief.
You know, and I thank God that, yes, it's of the Lord's mercies, it says, that we're not consumed, and his mercies are new to us each morning. You know, it's up to God. You know, God says he'll have mercy upon whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he'll harden. So, it's just, it behooves us to stay in the grace of God, keeping his commandments, serving the Lord with our heart, fearing the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it goes on to talk about bishops, how they're supposed to be blameless. And of course, you could read on in 1 Timothy that deacons, bishops, people of God are supposed to be blameless without spot. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in of him in peace, without spot, blameless." Now, this is repeated constantly throughout the Bible. And that's how God wants. That's what God wants. He wants a soul that's sold out to the living God.
Amen. And churches don't tell you these things because they want you to come back. What they'll tell you is that if you tithe, that you're going to be blessed. They'll tell you if you help send the Jews back to Israel, you're going to be blessed. But how can you be blessed if God doesn't even know who you are? He said, "I never knew you." If you're not keeping his commandments, if you are not walking blameless before God, and that means that when you know that you've made a mistake, that you repent immediately, which is what most people would do, usually know when you make a mistake. Don't be fooled. 1 John, it says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." You don't sin. "Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither do they know him."
In other words, you're not supposed to go out of your way to sin or sin presumptuously. Amen.
Yeah, so if you think you're getting blessed when God doesn't even know you and you don't even know God, it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you." That means don't let your ministers, don't let anybody deceive you. "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And righteousness in Deuteronomy, it's actually defined in the Bible. It says the righteousness is your keeping in the commandments of God. It says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil."
Well, and it's not a complicated matter. If you want to know how to be blameless, it's very simple. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and this is talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances that most people don't even talk about. They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, that's a pretty good example. We have the parents of John the Baptist. They're showing you that they were blameless in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And then if they do that, they know they'll be blessed. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, it says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to know how long you're supposed to keep the commandments, your whole life, until you see the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a hard thing, because he says that my commandments are not grievous. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord, keep his commandments, be separate from sin, separate from this world that has turned its back on God. I thank God that he's alive and on his throne.
Amen. So next time that someone tells you or your pastor tells you that you can't be perfect, that you can't be blameless, that's not true. Look it up. Do a search on your Bible. Look up those words, blameless. Look up those words. And you'll find that there's been plenty of people, and there are people today, that keep the commandments of God. They're not grievous. It's great because, you know, like I said, ask yourself, can you define what sin is? And if you can't, you're in big trouble. Because how are you going to be blameless? How are you going to be spotless if you don't even know how? It's really very easy. You look up the commandments in Exodus 20. You look up the ordinances in Leviticus 18 and 19. And they're very, very specific. And everybody should know them, except that the churches have whitewashed them. You don't see them anymore.
Yeah, it's a shame, you know. And also, you know, when I was watching what I do is I view a lot of different religious programming. And of course, I'm not going to name any names. You know them. But everyone on TV is, I call it, begging for money. And they're telling everybody that if you tithe, God is going to bless your life. And they give examples like Abraham, Joseph, and they give all these examples. But what they're leaving out is the other side of the coin. These people, Abraham, Joseph, and all the people in the Bible that were blessed materially with lands and riches, these people feared the Lord and kept his commandments. And I'll give you a perfect example. In Psalm 112, they always read to you verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endured forever. But what they didn't read to you was verse 1 and 2. This is Psalm 112. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And if you do that, it says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. That's only to people that fear the Lord and keep his commandments. You know, it's a sad thing that people see these ministries. They look like they're being blessed of God. But at the same time, they're just blessing themselves. They're taking 10% of their congregations, where it only talks about 10% in the Old Testament, and also in the book of Hebrews. But at the same time, we're not going to get into that subject of tithing, but at the same time, they're saying, if you just tithe, and you'll be blessed. But they never say, if you keep the commandments, fear the Lord, and then tithe, then you'll be blessed. That's the truth. So if you do all of the things, then happy are ye if you do these, Jesus said. Praise the Lord.
Amen, because tithing is the only thing they've kept from the Old Testament, actually. It's a simple thing, the Bible, the gospel. It's basically you have to confess that Jesus died on the cross, that he's your Savior, and you have to repent. But then you have to turn from everything that you've been doing. You have to know what's wrong, and you have to do it right.
You have to go and sin no more.
Amen, that's what Jesus said. And it's really pretty simple, but they make it difficult because, you know, Jesus said that only those things fulfilled in the law by him were fulfilled. Everything else, you cannot fulfill commandments. You cannot fulfill ordinances. What he did fulfill was a Levitical priesthood. If you read Hebrews, you'll understand what the new covenant is. Jesus is, his blood is the blood of the new covenant. There's no longer, you no longer have to sacrifice all those things Angela talked about, sheep, goats, everything, because now Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. That is what he fulfilled, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. But nothing else from the law changed. The commandments are still the commandments. If you don't keep the commandments, and that's every one of them, it's a sin. And if you do it on purpose, willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for your sins.
You know, it says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. It's Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record to this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. It's your choice, folks, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. You know, it says in Psalm 106, verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times.
What Angela just said is this: you have to choose. Every day we make choices. And what we say about keeping the commandments and not sinning is this: every time you're thinking something, every time you're saying something, when you're seeing something, you're making a choice. And when something hits you, it's your choice to stop it or to let it go, but it is your choice. And if you decide, if something, even let's talk about stealing, if you see something, say someone gives you extra change and you know it. You make a choice right there to say, wait a minute, this isn't right, you're giving me too much change. Or you can choose that, oh, they're not going to miss it, I'll take it. But that's a choice. And if you chose to take it knowing that they gave you more, you've just done a sin willfully.
Amen. So everything's a choice. You know, I just thank God for this half hour. This seems to fly by. You know, the book of Joshua, it says, chapter 24, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you better not. It says, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And here's a I go with this line full 100%. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his statutes all the time. And we got so many scriptures here that we'd love to talk to you about. It says in Isaiah, if you keep the Sabbath, chapter 56, verse 2, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hands from doing any evil. You know, God will even bless you for that. But there's so many things that God will bless you for. You should read Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's so many different scriptures we'd love to read, and time just doesn't allow.
But remember, all your righteousness are like filthy rags if you're not keeping the commandments of God. Because if you're sinning on purpose, God doesn't even hear your prayers. Well, you're not going to get any blessing, whatever. They're like filthy rags. Why would God bless you when you don't do anything that he says? And that's why we have to start listening to Jesus, listening to the people of the Old Testament, looking, you know, another thing is reading the testimonies. What happened to them? What happened to people that did wrong? What happened to people that did right? And read them and really understand and ask God for wisdom. Ask him for understanding. Ask him for those things, because he said, if you ask, if you seek, you'll find.
Amen. You know, and there's so many scriptures I looked up this afternoon on how God wants your whole heart. And he wants you to choose the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. And he does call. And make sure you answer when the Lord knocks on the door of your heart. You know, I thank God we could be here this afternoon. We are One in Messiah congregation. We give God all the praise and all the thanks. We just love the Lord, and I just praise the Lord for this half hour to be with you. If you want to be blessed, keep God's commandments. Before you tithe, make sure you fear the Lord. Walk with the Lord, serve the Lord, keep His commandments, crucify that flesh. Let's do something for the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. I thank God for the kingdom of heaven and that we could escape a burning hell. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. I praise the Lord for my salvation, my wife's, and for everyone that fears the Lord and keeps His commandments. Baruch Hashem, Yeshua, I thank God for the blood of Jesus.